for listening to the show. This is Dave Gahary filling in for Deanna Spingola, and with me is Alan Easton, who is a USS Liberty survivor. And Al and I have spoke over the past year and texted, and we never met, but this is the first time. It's great to meet him, great to have him here, and great to have him taking part in the show. So, Bill, let's get to your question. And the question is about William McGonagall, who was the skipper of the USS Liberty. He was at the time a commander, but when you're in charge of a Navy ship or boat, a boat being like a submarine, which is what I was on in the Navy, you are called the captain or the skipper, but he was a commander at the time. And his actual award was handed to him in a ceremony almost a year after the massacre. So it wasn't 2 decades or 2.5 decades. You might have been alluding to when he actually said something. He spoke out publicly about it. And I think that that was the 30th reunion, which was in 1997, and he passed on in March of 1999. So that was the first time he publicly said that, you know, he doesn't believe everything that they've been saying, that the government has been saying, and that he said we deserve more, you know, more thorough answer than what we're given. There are people who think that he was in on it, that you know, he had something to do with you know, the attack, in the sense that he was like an insider, which is not true, obviously. It's ridiculous. But there are some people who believe that he was given something for keeping his mouth shut, like a promotion from commander to captain. He was given a command of another ship, and he was also given the Medal of Honor, which some people think that it's called the Congressional Medal of Honor, but it's not. It's just called a Medal of Honor. That's its official term, I believe. So that was in the Washington Navy Yard. I think it was on June 10th of 1968, I believe. I'm going to look it up as I speak right now, because I don't want to give out the wrong information. But I'm pretty sure that that was the date that he was in a very obscure ceremony by the Secretary of the Navy, not by the President of the United States, which is how it's typically handled. There were a few other instances where people were not given the Medal of Honor in the White House by the President. Captain McGonagall actually researched that and found out when those who those people were and the circumstances surrounding that. So that was actually, it was June 11th, 1968 was when the ceremony took place. And one of the reasons that he was relegated to this inferior status was because of Israel. When Israel found out, because of the number of spies that have infested the United States government then and now, that he was going to get the Medal of Honor, that McGonagall would get the Medal of Honor, the Israeli embassy spokesman, and I'm reading this, wrote that the Pentagon summary chronicled the attack in detail and exonerated McGonagall of wrongdoing. More importantly, he wrote that the report might prove politically damaging for Israel, This announcement includes denunciation of the Israeli attack that is defined as a rash act. It insists that the incident took place in international waters and that the Liberty had the right to be in them. It notes that Israeli airplanes were seen circling above the ship about 6 hours before the attack itself. It assumes with certainty that these aircraft had identified the Liberty immediately and had communicated this observation to the headquarters in Tel Aviv. All of these things are true. The United States had a right to denounce the Israeli attack and call it a rash act and insist that it took place in international. In other words, how dare the United States insist that the incident took place in international waters? Yes, but it did. It doesn't matter. It's going to damage Israel. And you cannot give him the award, or Johnson cannot give him the award. It would draw too much attention to what we did to the Liberty, to the U.S. Navy, to the United States of America. So Israel had its way, and they made sure they applied pressure, and McGonagall was disgraced, as were all of the people who served aboard the Liberty itself as a ship, the United States Navy, and every citizen of the United States of America. Israel took precedence, supremacy, over the United States, even for something like this.
There are human beings. I have other questions, and I stated them. Okay, and that was a very lengthy response.
Hold on a second. I know that you have other questions and that you stated them. What I said was, I hope that answers your question.
Not really. Okay. My question didn't answer,
so I can answer that.
McGonagall received the Medal of Honor, which, by the way, there is a Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation and several other organizations that phrase it thus. Okay. How does he receive the Medal of Honor, given his injuries and given the level of his heroics, when balanced against the same for Philip McCutcheon Armstrong? How does that work? Look at what Armstrong did, and look at what McGonagall did, and answer me that.
So your question is, why did McGonagall get the Medal of Honor? And it is the Medal of Honor. It's not the Congressional Medal of Honor. It's presented in the name of Congress and is often referred erroneously as the Congressional Medal of Honor, the official name.
So that the Congressional Medal of Honor Foundation is hopelessly out of step then. Okay, you've clarified that for
us. Yes. So just because the foundation is named that doesn't mean that the name of the medal is going to change. So you're asking, why would Captain McGonagall get the highest and most prestigious military decoration awarded in the United States for what he did? And why would Armstrong, who was the XO, get the award that he did? Because you're saying that Armstrong did more than the captain. Is that your point?
I think that's pretty clear. He paid the ultimate price doing superhuman heroics by all accounts. I don't hear any accounts other than, you know, walking through napalm that were particularly heroic on the part of the commanding officer.
Well,
I think it's really straining credulity to suggest that there's any comparison.
Well, there's a long history of higher ranking officers getting higher awards than lower ranking officers because of the politics involved. But I think that most of the Liberty survivors have a lot of respect for what McGonagall did. And he stayed at his post. He was bleeding pretty significantly from the leg. He was even lying down at times, but he would not leave the bridge. And many of them, if not most of them, credit him with avoiding the other four torpedoes that missed. So I think that to look at the executive officer and what he did and compare it to what McGonagall did doesn't really benefit anything in the story of the Liberty, because
unless it's your family, then it matters a lot. But I appreciate your response to that. What about my other question?
Yes.
Can you do some externalization of the hierarchy on the specific personages involved on the gag orders?
Yes, sure. I'll answer that. And then I'll answer the question about the pilots. Initially, the orders given to the crew members of the Liberty to not talk about what they experienced was given by the admiral who came aboard while the Liberty was limping to Malta for repairs, and that was Admiral Isaac Kidd. And Kidd called various crew members together into sick bay or to whatever rooms that he did, and he asked them what happened. He took notes, and then when they were done saying what they had to say, then he warned them and threatened them that they are never to talk about this to anyone, not their family, friends, the media, or they would suffer severe consequences. And as Al said, he put it out of his head, which a lot of them did. They even forgot the date, a lot of them. And so...
Amazing. Really amazing. You know, Isaac Kidd also says that you shouldn't pay attention to the claims that Israel attacked the USS Liberty deliberately, which is really interesting given his own genealogy. I mean, doesn't that strike you as interesting?
Well, yes. What's interesting about the Kidd story, and what most people don't know because it hasn't been revealed yet, which it will be, is that Kidd spoke to different groups of the crew in different ways. So where he would handle the enlisted by taking off his stars and talking to them as if he was concerned and he was their father, and then after they spilled their guts, he would threaten them and hope to scare the crap out of them. After he put the stars back on and said, okay, now I'm an admiral again. With the officers and the civilians, and there were only two civilians left because one was destroyed by the torpedo, he talked to them as equals and commiserated with them and cursed out Israel, besides the fact about what we know about what him and Ward Boston discussed because of that Israeli-American Jewish traitor, Ahron J. Crystal, the Florida bankruptcy judge who's still alive, who wrote the book The Liberty Incident. That's what motivated Ward Boston to come forward and say, hold on a second, wrong. So, yes, there's more sides to Admiral Kidd than people know about.
Yes, Itzhak Kidd.
Yes.
Okay, so yes. This tells you, your country is attacked, 30-plus personnel are murdered, some 170 injured, and the rest traumatized. The country not only does not respond with force, not only does not report, not only puts a gag order on all of these sailors and all of their families, but goes on to decade after decade of massacre in the name of the Rothschild state, when this state has not shed a single drop of blood on behalf of this country. Now, who's accountable for that?
And I wouldn't argue with that in the least. You're 100% right. Who's accountable for that? Our leaders.
Who's accountable?
Our leaders.
Specifically, you're there to reveal the method, and I'm demanding that you externalize the hierarchy. Who?
You mean
who is it?
What individual?
Who is ultimately responsible for what I just, the charges that I just brought up?
Well, I mean, it starts with who was in charge at the time, and obviously that was LBJ, and his defense secretary, Robert Strange McNamara, and whatever other types were involved in these decisions to put the clamp on.
Do you know what their genealogies are, sir?
Say again?
Have you studied their genealogies at all? I suggest that you do, and you might get
Johnson,
a little bit closer
Johnson
to the answer.
Was a Jew on his mother's side.
Well, that's a definitive Jew.
What's that?
That is definitively a Jew. That is not Jewish descent.
Yes, that's right. And McNamara, I would imagine he's an Irish-American. I don't know.
Have you studied the history of the Jews in Ireland? Have you studied the McNamara clan?
Oh, do you have any light to shed on that?
I just suggest that you take a look at the man's genealogy and you take a look at the subject line, the history of the Jews in Ireland.
You know, I don't think that is significant to the point where the Liberty story needs to be told and this particular group of Jews was having an undue influence on the United States government. If they were Martians or Brazilians or Mexicans or Chinese, whoever they are, they should not be able to flex their muscle with our government. Our government should be able to withstand their pressure. So
self-evident. But honestly, do you think that Jewish control and influence over American politics and American policy has increased or decreased since June 8, 1967?
Dramatically increased.
Okay, so regardless of your intent, what you're saying is misdirection. Let's get to the bottom of this. Who is responsible then? Who is responsible now for pro-Israel, anti-American activity on the part of the American military? Who? Who controls it?
Well, the people who were around back then are no longer around, right?
Who's doing it now? We have a Jewish president now. No one ever mentions this.
Well, you know, this is something that obviously is an important topic, but for this show, we're going to focus more on the historical aspects of the Liberty. And I'd like to learn as much as I can about everything, but I agree with you that it is important. We have to find out who's pulling the strings, and we have to make sure that they don't do that anymore. And
how will you ensure that?
We don't know.
What do you intend to ensure?
We have to do what we can. And let me answer your other question after we get back from the break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes.
Cut short this bumper music so we can get to all of the callers, which is great because this show is for the listeners and for the callers. And so we're happy that you're calling in, and we love the interest in this topic that still, after almost 53 years, people are interested in it. The first caller we had, John in California, and now Bill in Florida. So Bill, in reference,
yes, sir.
I believe your question was about the Israeli pilots, right? That you were saying.
Correct.
That there might have been some dual U.S. Israeli citizens who were piloting those planes. In reference to that, there's no evidence about that, although it is a possibility that that was the case, but there's zero evidence about that. I have personally communicated several times with the lead pilot, the Israeli lead pilot, who was piloting one of the Mirage jets who initially attacked the Liberty, and we went over a bunch of things, and that was brought up as well, and he kind of scoffed at me about that.
Now, and he speaks English.
Yes, he speaks English, yes.
Sure, he scoffed at you. The arrogance is palpable.
Yeah,
I just want accountability. I want revelation of the method, but more than that, I want externalization of the hierarchy. We're going on 55, 54 years, whatever it is. It's 53 now, I guess, we're coming up on. It's too long. Because ever since that day, we've been fighting undeclared, unconstitutional massacres of aggression on behalf of the Rothschild state. And a lot of people, like me, think it needed to stop about 50 years ago.
You're not going to get any argument out of me or Al. You're 100% right. And I will never, ever disagree with what you just said. And I'm with you. And, you know, we need the accountability. We need to get this world back into some sort of normality, or bring it to some sort of normality where we don't have these psychopaths doing what they're doing and murdering and drinking the blood of innocent people around the world every day. You're 100% right. And I appreciate you bringing these points to my attention, to Al's attention, and to the audience's attention.
Very briefly, I have a method.
Yes.
You need very few things to bring these people to justice. You need names and addresses. You need the Magna Carta. You need the Declaration of Independence. You need the Fifth and especially the Seventh Amendment, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and you need common law grand jury rules. Now, we can't execute these people, and we can't incarcerate them, but we can strip them and their families of every shred of clothing and every bit of their wealth. And that is the method. Period. Paragraph.
Yeah, well, you might be right, Bill, but...
I know I'm right.
Well, let's keep fighting, my friend.
If the Constitution is no longer in force, owing to Public Law 102-14, then the rubber has now hit the road.
Well, thank you again, Bill. I appreciate it. We're going to get to the next caller. Thank you, Bill. Before we get to Chance in West Virginia, I want to ask Al about this because you didn't get a chance to. You were on board. Bill, the caller in Florida, was wondering why it is that Captain McGonagall got a higher medal than Commander Armstrong. Can you add some insight into that?
Well, during the attack, Commander Armstrong, after we got hit with a napalm bomb on the port side of the ship near the gasoline storage barrels, he formed up a fire party, and he went out to form it up, and rockets hit, and he got hit, and they dragged him inside the pilot house, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, one leg was just holding on by a little bit of skin, and he died. Well, Captain McGonagall got hit with shrapnel, but he stayed on the bridge, and he got weak at one time, and then he got composed, and we got a tourniquet on him and everything, so his leg would stop bleeding. He stayed on the bridge. Captain McGonagall had steered the ship away from the five torpedoes to the extent that only one hit. So that was pretty remarkable. And the fact that he stayed up all night, navigated by the stars, and this, I was on the bridge, witnessed it with my own eyes. And so I think it's justifiable that the captain received the Medal of Honor. I think also the chief engineer, Lieutenant Golden, was probably equally deserving for keeping the power plants going as much as he did.
Okay, folks, you hear the music? We'll be back. Al, I want to ask you another question about that military museum when we get back.
Yes, sir.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite. a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Republic Broadcasting Network, late night premiere show for Red Pill Hardcore, is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
We're back. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in. Yes, so Al, we were talking about Lieutenant Golden. You were saying as someone who
might have very well been a recipient of the Medal of Honor because of his ability to take over in engineering. I think there was one person stayed down there when they announced that a torpedo was headed for the ship, and he run everybody out of there. But the one person, I don't know if it was the chief or whatever, he said, "I'm not leaving you." And it might have been Chief Brooks.
Right.
And then Doc Kiefer, this guy was up all night long. He was doing operations, you know, surgery and everything, and taking care of everybody he could take care of. And at one time, he had to take care of himself because he had shrapnel in his gut.
How did he do that?
He went someplace where nobody else saw him, and he stitched himself up and put on a bandage and then put the life vest, the Mae West, over him. It was like a Mae West. I'm not sure it was actually a Mae West. And he continued on.
He put the life vest on to hold his guts in, basically.
To cover up the bandage so they couldn't see that any blood or anything.
Right.
He didn't want anybody to know that he was injured.
Right. Right. And getting back to Commander Armstrong, who Bill was talking about, there's a museum in Frankenmuth, Michigan, your home state, called the Military and Space Museum. And there's a Liberty display there?
Commander Armstrong, his uniform and other items of his are on display there. I also put a blue working jacket with a Liberty patch onto it. That is there, and they bring it out once in a while, but, you know, they got a lot of stuff in rotation. But Commander Armstrong, the best that I know of, pretty much stays out there most of the time.
So he's honored pretty well in that military.
Very well.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Al. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's get to, if we could, Chance in West Virginia. Chance, are you out there?
Yes. Hello, Dave. Hello, Mr. Easton. You know, that caller Bill made some excellent points. Did you know that Jared and Ivanka Kushner are both practicing Shabbat Lubavitchers? Did you know that?
I mean, I know that he's Jewish, and she became a Jew, if that's possible.
Yep. Shabbat they're Shabbat Lubavitchers, you know, followers of the old Rabbi Schneerson.
Yes.
Okay, the question I have, Mr. Easton, sir, I don't suppose this present MAGA, that's Make Israel Great Again president, ever acknowledged the survivors or invited them to the White House?
That I know of.
Yep, that's exactly what I figured. That's par for his course. That tells me a lot about him. Well, sir, I know it sounds old, but thank you for your service. You're a hero in my eyes. And Dave, God bless you now.
Sir.
And thank you very much, Chance. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you. And let's go to John in California. I'm sorry about that. Yes, you know how these calls can go on for a little while, but I never like to rush people off. How about, we got a lot of Johns. All right, what's going on here? We had a... Okay, how dare those Johns just disappear? Okay, Jerry, how are you, my friend?
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. I was wondering, whatever happened to the movie? That was 3-4 years ago.
Yes, movies don't just crop up overnight, and they require a lot of work. And the first draft of the screenplay is done, and the second draft is being worked on right now. And then this year should see some serious funding taking place with the movie. So this should be a good year. Of course, this ridiculous coronavirus got in the way and isn't getting in the way of a lot of things. But the movie is obviously something that is going to happen. It's just that it takes time to do such a really large, incredibly large project.
Okay, because I thought the idea was to get it out for the 50th anniversary of the Liberty.
Yeah, that would have been probably too aggressive of a goal, considering that the trailer, the donation trailer, was shot the year before. So that would have been nice, but no, there's just too many things. There's too many moving parts. Too much has to happen.
Okay, and one other question. How's Phil Turney doing?
Phil is doing good. He's doing fine. I just talked to him the other day, and he's in good health. And, you know, this is a tough time for most of the survivors. A lot of them have a difficult time handling the anniversary of the massacre, but he's doing fine.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time and what you've been doing.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Appreciate the call.
Okay,
we've got Charles in Florida. Go ahead, Charles.
Hello, am I coming in?
Been in loud
Hello?
And clear. Yes, you're coming in.
Oh, yeah.
Clear.
Yeah, I'd like to say about talking about people, the Navy, that were prominent at that time. Are you familiar with that McCain's father... It was, I think, Admiral of the Pacific Fleet, and him were both didn't resign after the USS Liberty was attacked, whereas Admiral Morrison, you know, Jim Morrison's father, the Doors, you know, his father immediately resigned when that occurred. He gave up his commission in the Navy. One of my rear admiral friends I knew back then, who's deceased now in Annapolis, I used to live around then, he described the tribe's control of the Navy. He told me and my mother in 1958, I was about 13 years old. And he said, I warned you, you're not probably not going to believe. And I said, yeah, I believe you. I used, when I was 5 years old, I knew what you are telling me now. And he was very angry. He was a rear admiral we knew in Annapolis. My brother knew him real. But he described how Rickover never had to retire. Admiral Rickover didn't have to take a desk job like he had. You know, he was a rear admiral, and there were no active commissions. Rickover was allowed to stay in forever by his connections, the Jewish lobby in Congress. So there are at least four examples of people prominent in the Navy that were one that was patriotic enough, Admiral Morrison, to quit, and three others that didn't care. Rickover was still in active service after 67. For several decades, as I'm aware of.
So the story of Jim Morrison's dad is that at the time of the Liberty massacre, he was promoted to rear admiral. And then an article in a British newspaper, The Telegraph, reported that Morrison, it says here, vehemently opposed the U.S. response to and findings of the USS Liberty incident, which exonerated Israel of malice, and Morrison did not rise in rank again after his outspoken criticism of Israeli intentions. And he retired from the Navy in August of 1975. So he retired. He was stayed in the Navy for an additional 8 years plus after the Liberty massacre. So he was still in the Navy, although he did not reach a higher rank. And I don't know for sure if that was because of the Liberty. There's really not much on Morrison saying anything about the Liberty that I have uncovered, or if it was because of his son, the attention that his son brought on him, or if it was because of some other things. Rickover, who was the father of the nuclear Navy, which I was in the nuclear Navy, he was, I believe, forced out of the Navy. So he was a very outspoken fella. He was Jewish, you're right. But they actually got rid of him. So you can read about his forced retirement. So they forced him out. So I hope that answers your questions that you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yes. Yes, Charles. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. Let's stay in Florida. And we got John back with us. And John, sorry that we took so long to get to your call, which was actually you called, almost an hour ago. And see that? You know, 8 minutes short of it. John, how are you, my friend? I don't know if this
I'm
is the John
okay.
I think it is. John, is it you?
Huh?
Is it John? Is it the John I'm thinking of?
John Conroy, Brooksville,
yes.
Florida.
Yeah,
USS Davis.
All right, John. I have a surprise for you. And
I want to tell you, Dave, I've been listening to your broadcast that you called me this morning, and it's just amazing. Amazing. Amazing.
Thank you, John. And you're an amazing guy because you have an amazing connection to the Liberty. And
oh,
you
I
have
certainly
a connection to the fellow who's sitting here right next to me, and he's spoken very highly of you, which you were not aware of course. But we're going to get to that. But why don't you, for the benefit of the listeners, John, if you don't mind, explain to them, you know, a little bit about who you are, where you were born, when you went into the Navy, what you did in the Navy, and your connection to the Liberty.
Okay, I come from Leominster, Massachusetts. I went in the Navy back in 1955. And when I was 1967, I was a first-class personnelman on the USS Davis, which was a destroyer, 937, now long gone. But we were detailed to come to the assistance of the Liberty early in the morning following the attack. And as it was, I was detailed by my executive officer to go aboard the boarding party and accompany the photography team from Naples. But when we got on board, they had forgot their film, so being a personnelman, I went up to the ship's office to see what I could do to help. And everybody, except for one sailor, I forget his name now, was either wounded or killed from the ship's office. And there was some ensign in there trying to put lists together. And it was a mess. So I said, let me stay in the ship's office and help straighten this all out. So I spent 6 days on the Liberty doing a lot of casualty reporting, and then helped out a little bit down in the security spaces when they were shoring up the bulkhead. But anyhow, I went in the Navy in 55, retired after 30 years in 85, and my story about the Liberty I've been carrying around all these years, and I would tell it to anybody who would listen, but not very many people were interested in it. It's sad because it was a horrible, horrible thing to see.
Thank you, John. Well, that guy who you couldn't remember his name is the guy who's sitting right here.
God. Is that right? Back then, I remember he was just a young fellow. He was just a young kid. When I walked into the ship's office, he was sitting way in the back by himself. And, oh, my God. And I saw him there by himself, and he was, of course, he was in shock almost. And so I went to work from there, and he helped me a little bit, as I recall. But, my God, that's amazing. Amazing.
I was the seaman yeoman striker, 20 years old, and didn't really know a lot about casualty reporting or any of that. And
that's
I was
correct.
Blown away. You come in, you took charge, you sat down at that typewriter, and you hammered away, and you hammered away, and you hammered away. And I said,
36
this
hours.
Guy is a blessing to us because everybody else was gone. I was the only one left in the office. The other ones were wounded. And I couldn't believe you could be so knowledgeable about, I got to do this, I got to do that, I need this, I need that. And I tried to help out the best I could, and you probably found more stuff by accident than what I helped you.
Well, we got the job done. That's all that mattered. And I can remember going on the bridge and seeing Captain McGonagall up there and the doc trying to take care of him. And then we eventually, myself and our corpsman from the Davis and a couple other people, actually helped Captain McDonnell on his gurney, and we took him down to his stateroom. And I continued working the ship's office. And then when I was done all my work there, I went down to the security spaces where the guys were working with the ship's crew and shoring up the bulkhead down there on the other side of security spaces so the bulkhead wouldn't give way. If the bulkhead had given way, the ship would have gone down because it was an old World War II victory ship,
They only had two watertight bulkheads, one forward of the engine room, one aft of the engine room. And fortunately, the torpedo that did strike the ship and blow up in there went in at the waterline just above the forward watertight bulkhead, and the bulkhead saved the ship from sinking, along with the crew that did all the work to save that ship. It was amazing.
Yeah, well, if they would have hit the engine spaces, we would have been lost.
Oh, yeah, you'd have gone down. You'd have gone down. You'd have pulled it right half and gone down.
Yeah, we'd have broken half. We'd have went down. And unfortunately, it took out about 25 communication technicians in research.
Yeah, yeah. But the crew of the Liberty, the damage control people on the crew of the Liberty, plus the crewmen from the Davis who went, well, we actually tied up right next to the ship. And
you want to hang on till after the break?
Yeah, sure. I'm sitting here in the kitchen listening to this broadcast.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life, with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
We're back. Thanks for staying with us to hear about the USS Liberty. This is a great story. John, you still out there?
I'm right here.
Yeah. So it's so cool because you and I'm just thankful your name isn't John. You got nothing but John's calling. I'm serious. We've got a John in Michigan who's next, and then we've got a John in New York. All right.
Yeah,
I'm kidding about the Johns. That is true. It's been almost nothing but Johns today. But it's cool that you guys have not talked to each other in almost 53 years. Number one. Number two is, John, you didn't know that Alan was the guy. Alan remembered
no.
you. Yes.
Oh, Dave, that's amazing. You know, all the years I've looked at my Cruise book and look at the pictures, and I've got a photograph of him sitting in that office when I walked in. And I didn't know that was him. My God, this is absolutely amazing. Yeah, he was just a young fellow then, and he was the only survivor from the ship's office. It was up and moving around. I think one of the yeomen got killed up on the bridge.
I'm amazed that you got a photograph of me. I'm equally amazed that I'm talking to you 50 years later, and you're still alive, and so am I, because a lot's probably transpired in each of our lives. But you, you're the man. Yeah, you obviously are one of the incredible people in the military that pushes on and gets things done, and it's the kind of leadership that the Navy, the Army, the Marine Corps, and everything else needs in order to keep things going.
Well, you're exactly right, and I treasured all my years in the Navy. I'm 82 now, pushing 83. I retired back in 85, and that's another life story. But the Liberty incident has been in my heart and my mind all these years, and I would tell the story about the Liberty and the rescue we went through when we boarded the Liberty to anybody who would listen, but not very many people either heard about it or cared to hear about it, so I kept it bottled up all these years until I met Dave. I haven't met him personally, but we've talked. Well, Dave, you came down here once, did you?
Well, I did, except we couldn't meet because of this ridiculous virus. You know, we were planning on it, but we're going to do it.
Once before, long before, with a camera.
What's that, John?
Didn't you come down to my house here in Brooksville and we talked and you took some pictures or whatever? Didn't we do that?
No, we didn't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
I got mixed up.
When was that?
Oh, goodness gosh. Oh, a couple of years ago?
No, that wasn't me. We were supposed to meet in March, but the virus took care of that.
Yeah, I was ready. I was.
So was I.
Bob Evans Restaurant, as I remember.
That's it, exactly. So we're going to do it. Alan, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm about 10 years junior, John. And the other thing that's significant about the Liberty incident is I got out in December of 67, having done 3 years, 2 months, and I think 3 years, 3 months or 2 months and 2 weeks. And I stayed out 4.5 years, and I come back in as a reservist, and my first duty station coming back in was none other than USS Papago ATF-160, which met up with Liberty in the middle of the night and towed a platform for lighting and fished debris and even one body.
That was the tug that followed us and fished those divers that went out the hole. There were guys that died and went out the hole on the side of the ship.
Guys, we got a break. We'll be back in a bit.
Okay.
Honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.